Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 28 of the YWC Football Talk podcast as I look ahead to week four and look back at week three with a very special guest who will be announced very shortly. Actually, not a special guest, a recurring guest, a friend of the program. So sit back, relax, no matter the time of day it is, and enjoy episode number 28 of the YWC Football Talk podcast. Now a third-time guest joins me today. For the first two times, though, it was in a... with someone else, but today it's just him and I. Matt Beast is here. We're going to talk a little bit of week three. I'm going to let him talk about his Saints, and then we're going to get you guys set for week four of the NFL season, including some updates on the postponement of the Steelers-Titans situation. That's an ever-evolving situation due to COVID. But Matt Beast, welcome back to the podcast, man. How are we feeling today?
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks for having me on. I'm feeling all right. Ready to talk some more football. It's always fun being on the podcast just to talk some football, which is something I really enjoy doing. So thanks for that.
No problem. I love to have you here and I love to talk. I always love to talk football. And you know what I love more than just talking football? Talking football with someone who loves talking football as well. So it's a best of both worlds scenario for the both of us.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, well, anyway, we had some interesting games in Week 3, but I'm going to jump right into it. I want to get your direct thoughts, your direct feelings on what happened Sunday night in the Superdome between the Packers and the Saints.
Okay, well, this game, I felt better about the Saints, to say the least, because if you watch that Monday night game against the Raiders, it was just so bad. Like, I feel like the play calling has been bad. Drew Brees hasn't been himself. I feel like the Sunday night game against the Packers, he was actually a little bit better. And a lot of people are, of course, blaming the whole arm strength narrative. So that's coming up on him. But, I mean, over the past 3-4 years, I mean, Drew Brees has been, like, almost one of the last in starting quarterbacks in average depth of target. So it's not like he's just been throwing the ball down the field anyways. And, I mean, the whole thing of this is Michael Thomas has been hurt, and he might be coming back in this game, so that'll be great. But besides that, Alvin Kamara has been amazing, probably the best running back in the NFL right now, if you have to ask me myself. Defense needs a lot of work, but in that Packers game, I mean, the defense just couldn't do anything. Aaron Rodgers was killing us. I feel like something's wrong with Cam Jordan because he hasn't really been a factor in any game lately. I feel like he's standing up to start his pressure versus actually being in a three-point stance traditionally. So I'm wondering if he might have some back issues. Some Saints podcast were talking about that. But yeah, and I'm just worried about the defense. I'm not so much worried about Drew Brees because I think he's going to be fine. I think there is a little bit of regression in terms of his talent and his accuracy issues. But I still think he's good and for sure good enough to get us along as long as our defense starts stepping up. But we'll have to see how this next game against the Lions go. But the Packers were just a good team, man. That's all I got to say about that.
I agree with you on certain fronts. It's about the defense more than the offense. Like, I feel like this Saints team and the flack they were getting going back to like the Jacksonville game and after Green Bay is very similar to what Tom Brady got 2 years ago, where he had the opening game where he looked okay against Houston, and then they went to Jacksonville and lost, and then they went and then they had Detroit Sunday Night Football, same thing, Week 3 Sunday Night Football, and they were 1-2, and everyone was like, his age is finally catching up to him, he's not the same as before. Week 4, they got Miami, and like, I didn't know what to think, and we went out there and beat them 38-7, and we ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. So I can see it in that very sense. I'm not saying the Saints are going to win the Super Bowl, even though you would love that. I'm just saying that, like, I think this year, unlike the last 2 years, I'm not saying only because they won the division in 2019 and had Super Bowl aspirations, and we all know they were one penalty away from going in 2018. But I'm saying the fact that I feel like this year, when there's not a lot of pressure on a team to get to the Super Bowl or there's those doubts, is when a team makes it. Like, look at Kansas City last year. Like,
for as great as Mahomes is, when he went down and hurt, no one thought they were going to make it. Everyone thought, oh, this is Baltimore's AFC to lose. And then they, I said this, and Phil and I called this. This is like in the OG days of the podcast. You haven't seen a team run the table and win a Super Bowl in God knows how long. Like, if you look at the last, I think, 3 or 4 years, every team went through some sort of adversity or had significant loss, or not significant losses, but like a loss that kind of motivates them to not lose again middle November. So I think this year with the Saints getting off to this like rough start can help them more than it can hurt them.
Oh yeah, I agree. And I mean, to bring up another issue that I just remembered, of course, I mean, we're the most penalized team in the NFL through 3 weeks, which is something you don't want, because these refs are going to go into these games thinking, oh, this Saints team is very undisciplined, so we better be looking for flag. And I do not want that to happen. I mean, bringing up your boy who used to be on the Patriots, Brandon Browner, he was dog shit on the Saints. Like, he was one of the worst cornerbacks I've ever seen in my life, because every play I was like, okay, here comes a holding call or a DPI call. It's just bad to see all these flags going along. And to your point about the Tom Brady thing, it's just confirmation bias because it fits people's narratives. People are always waiting to see when these quarterbacks are going to decline, and once they have just even the smallest of sample sizes, it goes for that confirmation bias, and they just start going with that narrative. And I mean, I guess if it fits their narrative and that's what they want to run with, that's what they want to run with. It is at the end of the day, because I mean, at the end of the day, if they keep saying, oh, Drew Brees is finally declining, he's finally declining, he's finally falling off that quarterback cliff a la Peyton Manning, and I mean, if you keep calling it, you're going to get it right at some point. So I mean, I guess I'd give them credit when they get that right, but until then, I mean, just 3 games isn't enough for me to say Drew Brees is done.
Yeah, no, exactly. You nailed the one on the head. Like, and also, too, with the penalty thing, like, I feel like there's some people who think, like, oh, the refs are out to get the Saints after that, where I've never seen Brad Rogers ref a game. Like, I've never had him as a Patriots game, not that I can remember, but there was just some people in his crew where there was a lot of questionable calls, but at the same time, too, like, the one horse collar, for example, where it was actually on his, like, it was on his, like, back or his, like, hip. But there are certain things, like, with the Saints where I'm seeing their corners, like, just do silly, like, hold, like, not even PI, but, like, just simple holding penalties where it's like, guys, you can get, if you just correct those little things, it's what's going to help you win football games.
Yeah, like, for instance, the Marcus Williams play when Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball out of bounds, it's an uncatchable ball, so the refs shouldn't have thrown it anyways, but Marcus Williams shouldn't have tried to compensate and actually, like, hit the receiver before the ball, while the ball's in the air. It's just a problem that the Saints used to have a while ago when our defense was one of the worst in the leagues, and I really don't want to see this happen again because, man, that traumatized me. Doesn't matter how good our defense is, I'm always going to be worried when the ball's in the air looking for a flag, and right now it's happening, so I hope they can correct those mistakes.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see what happens Sunday. I we'll get into this later. I do think the Saints are going to win, but I feel like anyone assuming that, like, hey, they're going to buzzsaw or it's just going to be, like, 45-10, I don't know, like, about that. I'm not saying that it's going to be, like, oh, it's going to be a close game, but at the same time, too, every time I think, oh, hey, this is a cupcake, this is a gimme, sometimes it works out, sometimes it's you're in for a surprise. So I think this is a game where anything can happen, but at the end of the day, I do see the Saints winning.
Yeah, I agree. If we're just going to preview it real quick, I mean, the Lions, they've been really bad against the run over these past 3 games. I think they're allowing like 170 yards on the ground over these past 3 games. So I see the Saints going on the ground with Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray 1-2 punch the whole game. So I could see it being a manageable game that we can come in and win if we can just keep the ball out of Matthew Stafford's hands and keep him from throwing to Kenny Galladay and just trying to go bananas over the Saints defense and try and pick us up a win where we can manage the clock better with a run game against a team that's poor against the run. So, yeah, I'm going to say we're going to win this one because the Lions, they haven't had that great of a start. They did beat the Cardinals last week, but it was thanks to a last-minute field goal. So, yeah, we'll just see how that goes.
Exactly. I'm just looking quickly at the spreads and everything, and the Saints are only a 4-point favorite, which I think they will. I think the score will be better than that, but I'm not seeing it. Like just for some examples, because there's a lot of like lopsided games this week. They have Baltimore as a 13-point favorite over Washington, and the Rams are a 12.5-point favorite over the Giants. Like, so this week's a bit of a crazy week for you gambling at, not addicts, but you gamblers out there. I think it's just going to come down to one thing, and it's one thing that I know, because obviously I'm a Patriots fan, that Bill Belichick preaches, but all they have to do is just play simple, complimentary football. It's that simple.
Oh, yeah, I agree. We just need to go out there, and we don't have to do anything flashy. Hopefully Michael Thomas is out there, which would help a whole lot, because Emmanuel Sanders himself even said he still hasn't picked up the offense, so that's kind of scary. There were shades of him and Drew starting to connect in that Sunday night game, so hopefully that's promising moving forward. And I mean, it's kind of bad when Traquan Smith's your number one outside target, so yeah, I'm hoping MT can be good and not get hurt again. I don't want him to rush back and get hurt, because we need him. Yeah.
And the other thing I'll say, too, is I have a feeling this is going to be a breakout game for Latavius Murray. Even though you guys have Alvin Kamara, I have a feeling that you're going to see Latavius on, like, some of those goal – if there's those goal line stances, I feel like he's going to have a good week. So if you're looking for that RB2 or flex running back, I'd go pick up Latavius Murray if he's still available in your league.
Oh, yeah, that's a definitely good call, because, I mean, Latavius Murray's carried the ball more times than Alvin Kamara actually has. But, I mean, Alvin Kamara just gets so much used to the passing game that it supplements itself. And I think they're leaning more towards an Ingram-Kamara approach a couple years back, when Ingram and Kamara were both like top 10 running backs in fantasy. So you can't, like you said, I would definitely look to start Latavius Murray again, especially against a poor rush defense.
If you had to say a score for this game, what would you go for?
I'm going to say 28 Saints, 24 Lions. That's what I'm going to go with.
I like that. I'm going to go a little different, though. I'm going to say 23 to 14 Saints.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And just moving on to some other NFL notes quickly, I want to say one thing. I got to get one thing off my chest, even though I'm playing him on Sunday. I feel like for all of us that have had a shitty 2020, Patrick Mahomes has had the exact opposite of a shitty year. Like, Super Bowl MVP, wins a chip, gets the bag, gets a ring, proposes to his girlfriend, and now he's an expectant father. So congratulations, Patrick. Like, you have had, like, the best year and, like, one of the worst years in calendar human history.
Yeah, congrats to him. It's been a big year for Patrick Mahomes. And, I mean, they're looking real good right now. So I feel kind of bad for your boys going up against him.
We can get into this game, like, talk about it. I'm just going to – I do have us losing, just because, like, I want to look aside from a realistic standpoint. I don't want to go in being like, oh, yeah, we're going to take care of this. We're going to win, no problem. Just because I know when you do that, it never ends up being in your favor, unless you're really confident. But I think this is the chance, like week two, or even like other games, where if the Patriots even go out and make it, not even, like, decently competitive, but if they can be super competitive and have a very similar game to what you saw them do against Seattle, where it comes down to, like, the very last seconds of the game, and not play the way that Baltimore did, there's a very good chance that the Patriots are going to basically be in that conversation. So even if they are 2-2, I don't look at that as, like, disappointment. I look at that as, hey, there's road ahead's looking good. And also, too, with opponents coming up like Denver and then San Francisco, because they have the bye week in between there, it's just room for hope. Because besides this game, the only other game I've circled on my calendar at the moment is November 1st, which is Patriots versus Patriots at the Bills. That's the game that I'm like, I got circled on my calendar right now, because that's another game I'll get into in a minute. But just overall with this team, like, they looked really good against Vegas, because, like, I feel like it was run 1 week, pass 1 week, and then they did a hybrid offense where they completely neutralized Vegas, which we saw, like, Darren Waller he blew up the Saints. Darren Waller was a no factor. It was like last year where it was, oh, how are the Patriots going to stop Amari Cooper? They shut down Amari Cooper. But this obviously is a very different animal than the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, Cam Newton's looked pretty good for the first couple of weeks. Of course, he smashed the Dolphins in that first week, and versus Seattle, he looked really good, too. The Raiders, he didn't do as much. Didn't really need to because, I mean, like you said, the running attack was working pretty well that day. And we'll see how it keeps going. Just got to hope that he continues to stay healthy and has longevity in his career as a Patriot.
Exactly. And also, the other thing I think that really helps him is that this is the second time in his career he's had a legit OC. The other one being Norv Turner. And I believe that was the Super Bowl year that he went to in Carolina when Norv Turner was his offensive coordinator. So just the fact he's got that, you see him coming out with all these nicknames for his play, like for all the guys in the locker room and stuff. The fact that he's a captain, it just goes to show, like, hey, how far he's come along with only being with the team for literally 3 months. Like, not a lot of guys can go into an organization and do that so quickly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he definitely has that aura about him. He can just come into a room and he commands that contention. He's definitely one of those guys who can lead a locker room. He has that aura about him. And, of course, he's been running very good. I mean, he's just barely behind Sony Michel leading y'all in yards. So, I mean, he's definitely to himself in his running game. So that's definitely a positive. One thing I was worried about, his accuracy issues aren't quite are quite kind of there, or still there a little bit. But, I mean, for the most part, he's still been good. So he hasn't been looking like he was in the past couple of years there in Carolina, where his shoulder was just shot. I mean, it was bad. So it's promising to see him playing good and hooking up with Julian Edelman and N'Keal Harry starting to emerge for y'all, which is a great thing to see, I'm sure, after spending a first-round pick on him last year. So definitely promising things from this Patriots team.
I just got to say one thing quickly. I just laugh when everyone says, oh, N'Keal Harry is a draft bust. I'm like, unless someone's completely dog shit, you can't say that they're a draft bust after their rookie season. Like, sometimes it takes people a while to develop. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about the fit, and it's all about the year. And, I mean, he was hurt last year, and now he's actually out there able to kind of produce just because these players get stamped with a first-round pick on them. They have these expectations, and sometimes it just doesn't pan out the first year, and sometimes they got to work it out. I mean, Patrick Mahomes didn't play his first year except for one game, and, I mean, you're not going to call him a bust just because he sat the whole year, and then now that he's the best quarterback in the NFL, arguably. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Patriots they have a good shot against the Chiefs, low-key. I think they could do pretty good. And I see it being a closer game than the Baltimore Chiefs game, honestly. So I think it's going to be a good game and definitely one to watch.
One thing I want to point out, too, is that Bill Belichick, I think, is the only coach, regular season and postseason, to have beaten Patrick Mahomes more than once. And also, too, it's not September anymore. It's October, and he's lost in October. So there, because like I saw his September stats during the Monday Night Football game, he's like 10-0 and like 32 and like oh with touchdown interception ratio, which is insane. The other thing that I look to at this, like if we can look back to Monday Night quickly, Baltimore just looked like they overtried, and also too, I want to stop right now with saying the Brady Manning rivalry, because until Lamar can beat him, this is not a rivalry. I know they're both the same level, both back-to-back MVPs. We'll see if it's back-to-back Super Bowl MVPs, because I think my pick to come out of the AFC was the Ravens originally, just because I had a feeling this was the year. But I just want to stop those comparisons for now, just because, like I said, look, Lamar's good and all, but when you get him against a legit opponent or you have to make him throw the ball, he's still got a lot of work to do.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, he still has – I mean, I didn't really get to watch this game, unfortunately, because I had a long day ahead of me the next day. But, I mean, just judging by the narratives coming out the game, I mean, it seems like he just has, like you said, a lot of work to do in the passing game still. I think they should try and get Marquise Brown more involved. Getting him more involved will create a huge dynamic in their offense. He could definitely be their Tyreek Hill if they can figure that out. And, I mean, they have the safety valve of Mark Andrews there. But, yeah, I think this Ravens team has a little bit more to go, especially once they get into the playoffs. That's when I'm really going to be watching to see what they do then, because that's going to be the big time for them, because they had a not the best showing last year. So a lot of this is kind of waiting to see what happens when they get to that big time.
That's literally my exact – before we quickly just look at the Patriots-Chiefs game, that is my exact thoughts on this team. Do what you want between September and December. I'm looking to see what you can do in January, because we all know you're going to be there. Unless Pittsburgh is this, like, just runs the gauntlet and is this unreal team. Because I believe week 7 or week 8 is when Pittsburgh and Baltimore hook up. Because I also know, too, they are the primetime game Thanksgiving Day, which that should be a great game, too. But at the same time, like, with Baltimore, too, like, even I feel like they overthunk their game plan. Like, I watched this whole game. Baltimore blitzed 21 times, and I'm sorry, but when you blitz a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes 21 times, he's going to catch on, he's going to get out of the pocket, and he's going to make you pay. That's the only other thing I got to say about that.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about that. I mean, you can't try and fool a guy like that, especially a guy who can just throw a no-look pass on a dime like it's nothing. So, I mean, you can't really do much about that, and I mean, just got to wait and see how it crumbles for them. I mean, they didn't have the best showing against the Chiefs. And like you said about the Steelers, I mean, they're no slouch like they were last year. I mean, Big Ben's here. Deontay Johnson's emerging, who is a great wide receiver. He actually, I think he has, like, one of the highest target shares in the league, which is crazy to think about, over Juju and James Conner and all the other weapons they have there.
Juju's having a bounce-back year. That's
crazy. Yeah, Juju's actually playing pretty good right now, which is promising to see. But yeah, I mean, the Steelers team is no slouch, so they actually have some competition.
I feel like the AFC North and the AFC East are going to be very competitive, where it's going to be between New England and Buffalo and then between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Meanwhile, we already know the West. And for everyone going to, oh, Baltimore's a lock, I'm like, if Baltimore continues to or has a couple games where they look like they did on Monday night, they're not a lock to win this division. Like, I think they will. But it's not a guaranteed lock like last year. Like, Pittsburgh's going to be that team that's here to make some noise. And also, too, Pittsburgh, with that defense, too, there's no reason why, like, for a why not.
For sure. I mean, they just look a whole lot better with Big Ben back, and that defense is just outstanding.
Exactly. It's just like a complimentary piece on top of, like, Big Ben. It's kind of like the cherry on top for this Pittsburgh team. One thing I want to say quickly about Kansas City, just with this whole game, if I had to pick a defensive player of the year right now, I think I would go with Chris Jones, because there's been no one who's able to disrupt a play more than him through three games.
Yeah, I'd have to look at his stats individually, but I mean, he's a great player. He's always been really good, and he's definitely the anchor of that defense. Definitely got to give it up to him. I mean, I haven't seen much Chiefs football this year, which I need to correct that and go check it out. Because, I mean, they're a great team to watch, of course. And, I mean, some of the plays that Andy Reid was calling, I'm just like, wow, why can't Sean Payton be trying to be this inventive right now with the way this offense is going? But, I mean, it's just a fun team to watch. I need to get to that. But, I mean, Chris Jones, he's a great player and definitely one of the better defensive players on that team.
So far, he has 3.5 sacks in the year, and he had 2 forced fumbles in the game against Baltimore. So, pretty good. Oh,
man, that's huge.
Yeah. Averaging about a sack and a half a game is something. Or not a sack and a half.
Yeah, those forced fumbles.
Especially against Baltimore. Like, I remember those. He just, like, was knocking them out of Lamar Jackson. Kind of like that one play Sunday, just to go back to the Saints game with Deontay Harris, where it came out of nowhere. Like, sometimes you just don't know what's coming out. But But with this coming game this Sunday overall, the way I look at it, it's, like I said before, if the Patriots can go out there and hang, or even to if they go into Arrowhead and beat, it's no longer going to be, oh, hey, the Patriots, like, we'll see what they are. It's, no, this Patriots team could make a deep run into January. Like, I think right now their ceiling is still, the fan in me wants to say, yeah, they can upset and win a chip. The realist in me is saying right now probably divisional round or AFC championship game.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably about where I'd have them. They're definitely going to be fighting for the division with the Bills, who we can get to them later. But, I mean, I could see them fighting for the division, and I probably have them as a wild card team right now, honestly, myself. Making it in there, I could see them winning a playoff game.
It's just it's the same thing as the Saints, too. It's the defense, and it's nothing to do like with the Saints, where it's like the defense isn't going. It's just the fact that, like, your first time on here, we talked about Dante Hightower literally 12 hours after we were done. He opted out of the season. Patrick Chung opted out. Kyle Van Noy is gone. Jamie Collins is gone. But I will say, if you want to go back and watch film, go watch and look at Chase Winovich highlights, because that guy has been like the anchor of our defense this year, and he's only in his second season for Michigan. Like,
yeah, it's always good to have that depth, especially when you have issues like this season where you got people opting out and worried about their health and people leaving. That's one good thing about the Patriots. Whenever people have left the Patriots, it seems like they don't go and actually excel and do as good as they were doing on the Patriots, because I mean they are leaving, historically they've been leaving the better team to other places to get paid a big free agent money bag, but I mean that's just how it just turns out for a lot of Patriots players, it seems like. But yeah, it's just good that they always have this depth. And I mean, Bill Belichick, he's a defensive mastermind, of course, so I mean he knows what he's doing.
Exactly. He always has that next man up mentality where it's like, oh, hey, he's gone. Okay, you. I'm going to step you up. I'm going to make you into a star. Like, there's just certain things like that where it makes you under the awe of Bill Belichick. So, like, when, like, Brady left, everyone was worried, oh, what are they going to be like? I always knew we're going to be fine because we have coaching. As long as coaching is still there and as long as Bill Belichick is still the coach of this team, I always knew we were going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, arguably, you could say if Bill Belichick left and went to another team, you might be in a more of a panic than if Tom Brady just stayed without Belichick, honestly, if you ask me.
100%. But I know we didn't talk a whole lot about this game that's coming up for this Sunday, but the way I see it, I'm already anticipating we're going to get those fantastic plays from Mahomes. We're going to get some of the plays we're able to maybe not shut him down, but just, like, stop him a bit like Baltimore did. But at the end of the day, I'm still going to say the Chiefs are going to win, because I honestly feel like when the Chiefs do lose their first game, it's either going to be something like they lose to an opponent no one was expecting. Like, for example, let's say the Denver Broncos come in and upset them just in an alternate universe. I'm just throwing out an obscure team that I know they have to play because I don't know their schedule off the top of my head. But that's how I see them losing, where it's like that game where it's like, oh, hey, for sure they're going to win, and then for some reason, like, something goes bad and they, like, lose. Or it's this Sunday where they lose to New England. But at the end of the day, I'm going to still pick Kansas City, and if I had to say a score, I'm going to go Chiefs 27, Patriots 21.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs here. And one quick tidbit on the Chiefs that I just thought of now to bring up the Denver Broncos. I mean, I think the Chiefs have a really kind of an easy path in their division right now. I mean, their biggest competition is the Raiders, and don't get me wrong, the Raiders are a good team who could possibly make it in the wild card round. Honestly, I mean, I can't really say much. They beat my Saints in very convincing fashion. I can't even lie. So that's their biggest competition. And I mean, the Denver Broncos, they just have injuries everywhere. It's not good for them. The Chargers, they have a rookie quarterback in Justin Herbert, who does look good, don't get me wrong, in his first couple games. But, I mean, it just looks like an easier path for the Chiefs right now in their division. I honestly don't know how many games I could see them losing. So maybe this Patriots game could be the one they end up losing, but I'm going to stick with the Chiefs. I'm going to say a score of Chiefs 34, Patriots 28.
That's a score I can see. I'm just looking at the schedule quickly. After the Patriots, they play the Raiders next week, then at the Bills on a short week, Thursday Night Football, which we'll get into, which I just want to bring up quickly. We'll get into the Bills after this. At the Broncos, versus the Jets, versus the Panthers, and then a bye week. Excuse me, that is like the easiest slate of a schedule anyone can have going into a bye week. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I don't see them losing that many games. Like, they're honestly probably going to go probably 15-1, 14-2 easily.
Easily. Like, the only games I can see them potentially losing is, like, this Sunday. I could see Brady losing, Brady beating Mahomes week 12 at Tampa. And then when you guys play them week 15 on December 20th, which at the Dome, which by then, for all we know, there could be fans in the Dome, and we all know how much of a difference that can make. That's also my birthday. Because like, even, too, like, after their bye week, it's at the Raiders, at the Bucs, and then versus the Broncos and at the Dolphins, and then Atlanta's week 16. I'm, like, looking at this, like, worst case scenario, they go 13-3.
Yeah, I mean, off just looking at it, I think the best chances they have of losing are against the Bucks, your team, the Patriots, and the Bills. Until I see more from the Saints team, I'm too afraid of Patrick Mahomes coming in there and just slinging all over our defense. So I don't really have utmost confidence in us being able to beat the Chiefs right now. But if I had to pick three possible teams that's going to beat them, it's going to be those three.
I'm going to talk about that Buffalo Bills game quickly because I had to eat my words because for those of you who don't know, I am on TikTok also at @MainMarkMurph. And I always post my predictions there weekly. And someone asked me, actually straight up said, I would follow you, but why didn't you pick the Bills to win? And I explained to them, hey, this last Sunday was the Bills' first legitimate test. They proved me wrong. They won. At one point, I was like, holy crap, the Bills are here to stay. And there's, I know this is the Dan Orlovsky horn that he's been tooting, is Josh Allen for MVP, which we'll get into in a minute. But the fact that they came, I know the Ravens came, not Ravens, the Rams came back and they still won, speaks volumes only to the fact of, look, this Bills team, the first two games, because I said the first two games were effectively cupcakes where it's the Jets and the Dolphins, and then the Rams was a challenge, conquered that challenge. But that Week 6 matchup, I think they're either going to hang tight with them or straight up they're going to get their asses kicked like Baltimore did Monday night. And if that happens, I'm going to go, Buffalo's good, but they're not January good. Because honestly, with the NFL, I know some teams say they're a good team, but there are teams that we know, like Kansas City, who are good in January. And that's what you want when you have these teams that are that fringe good. Not, are we good in the fall? It's are you good in the winter?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And the Bills, looking at their schedule, they have it pretty tough in the future. I mean, they got the Titans, Chiefs. They play you guys still twice. They got the Seahawks. They got the Cardinals. They got the 49ers when the 49ers probably be healthy. The Steelers. So they definitely have some tests down the road. But over the first 3 weeks, like you said, they did have two cupcake matchups in the Jets and the Dolphins. Sorry, Jets and Dolphins fans. More sorry to the Jets fans, honestly. We can get to them later. But yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for Russell Wilson, through the first 3 weeks of the season, Josh Allen would probably be the MVP of this league, which is crazy to think about because this guy, he's like a Mitch Trubisky if he was a serviceable good quarterback that you could roll out there and not worry about. And I mean, him and Russell Wilson are having two of the best fantasy seasons of all time if you extrapolate it out. I tend to think that's probably not going to continue for Josh Allen, even though he's a very good fantasy quarterback. And I mean, I tend to think Russell Wilson is going to stay on this trajectory because he's just a fantastic quarterback. But Josh Allen, he's been proven that he's good. He's good. And them adding Stephon Diggs, I think that helped a lot with his accuracy issues and gave him another weapon that he can rely on than just John Brown and Cole Beasley. So I think he's been really good this year so far. I mean, obviously the numbers speak for themselves. So, I mean, they got the Raiders coming up, and I mean, the Raiders, I know you probably don't think much of them, and I probably tend to think more higher of them because we got our asses kicked by them. But we'll see if the Bills can continue to look as good as they did. I mean, the Rams almost came back on them, and I mean, I think Josh Jacobs could have a big game against the Bills. But I mean, the Raiders are going to be missing Henry Ruggs, I do believe. I think he's hurt.
And Byron Edwards.
Brian Edwards is hurt as well. Yeah, Brian Edwards is hurt as well. So that's going to hurt them because that's two of their top wide receivers out already. And I mean, it's just going to be the Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs show, I guess, if they want to beat the Bills.
Who still aren't 100% either. And Gruden said they trust Aguilar, which I took with a very big pot of not confidence because we all know what Aguilar's habits are.
Yeah.
But if this defense can handle, because the only con to me with the Raiders is their secondary. Their secondary is still very young. But if this defensive line can stop Singletary and make Josh Allen scramble and work, I could see the Raiders giving them about the same amount of trouble, a very similar game to what we saw with the Saints, where at first, like, hey, like, the Bills may look good, but then the Raiders kind of, like, click into everything and kind of, I think they'll learn from the mistakes they made against the Patriots, and also to Derek Carr, because I think Derek Carr, like Mitch Trubisky, is in a prove-it year, which we saw Mitch right now is benched, but we'll see what happens. But because if Derek Carr, if they do not make the playoffs this year, straight up, Derek Carr is not going to be the quarterback in Las Vegas in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, probably not. I mean, Derek Carr, he's never the guy who's just going to win you the game, mostly on his back. I mean, he did have that one really good season a couple years ago where they made it to the playoffs, and he played really good. He's kind of comparable to an Alex Smith type guy. I mean, he can go in there and have really good games for you, don't get me wrong. But I just don't know if I see him as the quarterback of the future for the Raiders or not. And I mean, they pay him quite well for how he's been performing over the past couple of years. But I mean, he looked good the other night for me against the Saints. But of course, I'm sure John Gruden just went over to him and said, just keep throwing a Darren Waller until they force you to stop throwing a Darren Waller. And I mean, we never did. So I mean, I got to give him props for that at least. But yeah, if I had to give a prediction on the game, I think the Bills are going to win. It's probably going to end up being a close game too here. I'm going to say Bills 24, Raiders 21.
I like your prediction a lot. I'm going the same route. I think that this is going to be the last game of the Bills where it's like they're 4-0. Everyone starts tooting that Josh Allen MVP horn a little bit more. Me, personally, I still have guys, like, I still have Wilson is my MVP right now. If I ever get an MVP vote, which hopefully one day, I'm just kidding, I don't think I ever would, but if I become a successful football personality out of this, I would right now would give my MVP vote to Russell Wilson, obviously, just because the guy's been a machine. But with this game in particular with Josh Allen, it's like, look, if you can go out there and prove yourself in this new stadium, be the first road opponent to win in Vegas, like, that's going to say a lot, because obviously it's in the mix. You're in the mix of games, too. So if he can stand out, especially when you're competing against the Patriots, Chiefs, like, I don't think there's going to be too many national lines on this outside of Las Vegas and the Western New York area. But if I had to give a score prediction, I'm going to say Bills 27, Raiders 24. I think this is one on a... I don't even know who... I'm brain farting on who the Buffalo Bills kicker is right now. Last I remember was Steven Hauschka, but I know he's gone now. So, if you guys just give me a quick second, I gotta look this up. But I honestly think this game is very similar, like, style-wise to what we saw with Detroit, Arizona, in the sense of... Oh, Tyler Bass is the kid's name. Or the guy's name. Okay. Where it ends on a last second field goal, where it's, I think it's a very back and forth battle, but at the end of the day, I think the Bills get that win, and then the Raiders kind of, I think they're kind of falling back to reality, not only with injuries, but also too with the fact of, hey, maybe they aren't as good as we once thought they were.
Yeah, for sure.
The one game I want to talk about quickly, because I just literally want to give a score prediction, is tomorrow night, which there's a metaphor I saw with football last week from Pro Football Talk. Football is a lot like pizza. When it's good, it's great. But when it's bad, it's still pretty good. But this Thursday night, we're getting ketchup on crackers. Like, how do they think this was a good idea to put the New York Jets on Thursday night football against the Broncos? Like, this is like when Thursday night football first came back and they just threw anyone out there. I understand the whole give anyone a primetime game, but you got to look at the opponent. Like, give them a strong opponent. Like, I'm going to watch this tomorrow night because there's no other sports on. And B, because I'm a football junkie. Literally, the only reasons why I'm watching this game tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of sad when one of the more exciting things that could end up happening is Blake Bortles somehow starting for the Broncos. But, I mean, this Broncos team, they would look more exciting if they actually had... if they were healthy, because I would like to watch Drew Locke and see him play some and see how he's doing with his weapons. But, of course, Cortland Sutton's hurt.
Von Miller's hurt. They got to
lean on the rookie Jerry. Von Miller's hurt, of course. They got to lean on Jerry Jeudy. And now they're playing, what's the guy's name? They already sat their backup quarterback. Rippon, I think is his last name.
Undrafted rookie out. I believe Brett Rippon. his fucking Vic Fangio called him Mark or Martin or Mark Rippon, which is his uncle who's also in the NFL. This Broncos team is just a mess right now, but if I had to make a prediction for tomorrow night, like you said, rookie receiver, I think this is Jerry Jeudy's welcome to the NFL game. Sometimes that means it's a bad play. Sometimes it's that play where you go, this guy's good.
Yeah. And I mean, the Jets, they just don't look good right now. They have injury problems, of course. Lev Bell's been hurt. Jameson Crowder's out for whatever reason. They want to stick to running with freaking Frank Gore. I don't understand what is up with these teams and Frank Gore and Adrian Peterson and giving them 10-plus carries a game. But it is what it is, and Adam Gase has a love affair with Frank Gore. But I kind of hope the Jets lose for the Jets fans because I really see Adam Gase getting fired after this game. He probably would have gotten fired last week, but since it was such a short week, they probably kept him on. So I kind of hope he gets fired because he's just not a good head coach, and I feel so bad for Sam Darnold. And get this high draft pick. I don't know what they're going to do with it. Are they going to go and get Trevor Lawrence and just quit with the Sam Darnold experience? I don't know. There's a rumor going out there that Juju Smith-Schuster wants to join Sam Darnold if the Jets situation changes at all. So that's something to monitor for sure. Just off top of my head, I'm just going to say Broncos 13, Jets 10. It's going to be a really bad game.
This is going to be a really bad game, but honestly, and people are going to think I'm fucking stupid for saying this, New York Jets 10, Denver Broncos. No. New York Jets 16, Denver Broncos 10. I don't know why. I just have a weird feeling that the Jets, either this is going to come back to haunt me. I just have a weird feeling the Jets are going to win tomorrow night. Like, it's one of those things. No one expects them to win. The opponent's just as bad. We don't know what Brett Rippon is. For all we know, this is what Nick Mullins was 2 years ago, where he came into the game against the Oakland Raiders on Thursday Night Football and lit it up. I think they won like 34-3. For all we know, we could see that from Rippon. But at the end of the day, I don't know why. I just have a weird feeling that the Jets are going to win this game tomorrow night. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm right, I'm right. But hey, this is what I'm here to do. I'm here to make crazy predictions. I'm not here to be an idiot like Colin Cowherd or Skip Bayless.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I mean, I'm not going to bash you for picking any of these teams because I don't know who's going to end up winning because it just doesn't look good for either of these teams, honestly. And I mean, it sucks for the fans because the Broncos, they had promising talent coming in, and I was really wanting to see if Drew Locke could elevate and look good. I mean, he hadn't had that many NFL starts to his credit. So I don't know, but going with the Jets is probably a fine pick, but I just want to see the Broncos win just to see Adam Gase gets fired because I just don't like Adam Gase.
Oh, neither do I, and I think if they lose this game, it's whatever. It's if they get killed tomorrow night, I think he gets fired. If they lose, like, say, this is going to be fucking 6-3 at the half, and I'm going to be sitting there like, why? Like, I'm going to go, why?
And I mean, it would be kind of poetic if he gets fired after he plays against his former team that pretty much brought him to prominence. So that would be an interesting storyline.
It's better than going over to London and then on the plane ride home being like, yeah, by the way, you're fired, which has happened before.
Yeah, it has.
Just looking at some other games quickly, just want to run down. Colts versus Bears, Nick Foles' quarterback debut. I know he played last weekend, but this is his starting debut. You know what? For as good as they've looked, the Bears are probably the worst 3-0 team in NFL history. You have a comeback against the Lions, you have a comeback against the Falcons, which at this point, I think a team of the YWC could come back against the Atlanta Falcons. And they barely beat the Giants when that was the game when Barkley tore his ACL. So I'm quickly just going to say Colts 24, Bears 17.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears, they definitely just don't look amazing. And it's very interesting to see they've gone 3-0, for sure. I do appreciate them for coming back on the Falcons because I always enjoy some Falcon misery. I'm not even going to lie to you. So that brought me joy in this season to see that, and Nick Foles just coming back and beating them like that. The Colts, I want to see. I want to see how they do. I want to see. I think Phillip Rivers hasn't looked really good over his past couple games. I just want to see if he can string it together. Jonathan Taylor, he's having a pretty good start to his career. He got elevated since Marlon Mack got the injury. So we'll just see how it goes. I think it's going to end up being like a seesaw effect, and they're going to keep going back and forth between Nick Foles and Mr. Trubisky, because I think one's going to have a good game 1 week, and then one's going to be bad the next week. So we'll have to watch out and see how that goes and see if they're going to sub in Mitch at any point. But I'm going to go with the Colts here. I'm going to say Colts. I'll say Colts 24, Bears 14.
I like that score. Next up, because I'm on my app here, the next game is Detroit, New Orleans. We already gave our predictions for that. Who dat? The next game up is the Arizona Cardinals visiting the Carolina Panthers. You know what? Jesus Christ, Kyler Murray. I think if there's any quarterback, you know, some people say like you don't want to play Patrick Mahomes because he's who he is. I think Kyler Murray right now is the hardest quarterback to game plan for in the NFL. Like he made, I think it was Jeff Okuda just. He put him on ice skates. Like, when you can do that in the NFL, that is something special. Like, I know Patrick Mahomes is all his great no-look passes. Mahomes has never had that. I don't, to my memory serves me correctly, I don't think Mahomes has had that moment where he just makes a defender look stupid on his feet, like, where it's, like, just completely fakes him out and then gets in the end zone. But, god damn it, this Arizona Cardinals has a very favorable schedule through their first 5 weeks of the season, because they play the Jets next week, and then they have the very interesting the Cowboys game Monday Night Football week 6, so we'll see how that goes. But, man, this Cardinals team looks good, and if I had to say a score right now, I'm going to say Cardinals 27, Panthers 14.
Huh, well, I mean, the Lions had a good game against Kyler. They ended up getting, I think, 3 interceptions on him last week. And I think Jeff Okuda got his first pick of his career, which I guess he got payback for the play where he looked pretty silly against Kyler. I mean, Kyler, he's a very electrifying player to watch. In their first couple weeks, they beat the 49ers in Washington. I don't know how much stock I can put into that 49ers game right now. I still got to see how the 49ers are going to end up looking over the next couple of games. Of course, they have an injury bug just as bad as probably the Broncos do. It's just been bad for some of these teams out here. Like you said on a podcast that we had a little while ago, you were really worried about injuries. And, I mean, you probably didn't expect it was going to be this bad for some of these teams. But as far as this Cardinals and Panthers game goes, I don't see the Panthers being able to keep up with the Cardinals offense without Christian McCaffrey. Robbie Anderson, to his credits, looked good. He's made me look kind of dumb because I thought he just wasn't going to be a good fit for this offense. I'm hoping to see DJ Moore do a little bit more just because I have him in my dynasty league, so I'm a little bit selfish there. But yeah, I think the Cardinals are just going to kind of run away with this game, honestly. I'm going to have it Cardinals 32, Panthers 21.
I like that. Also, too, one thing I think that happens this week, I think Kenyon Drake finally has a breakout performance, because like we saw what Josh Jacobs did against his defense, because Matt Rhule is a good football coach, but this is a very young team still, so we'll see what happens. Next up, we have Jacksonville versus Cincinnati, which pretty ugly on paper, and a 49-point over-under. I literally have nothing to say about this game. I think Jacksonville rebounds after last week, but at the same time, too, I want to go crazy and pick Cincinnati, but I'm not. So I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I'm going to say Jaguars 20, Bengals 14.
This is a sleeper game to me, honestly, because, I mean, both of these offenses could look good. It really depends on if DJ Chark's going to be out there or not. I mean, James Robinson, he's been an electrifying rookie running back for the Jaguars. If you went out and got him in fantasy, you're very happy right now.
That'd be me.
To say the least. I got him in a couple of leagues myself, so I've been very happy with the pickup. And, I mean, the Bengals, man, they really need to get Joe Burrow some freaking help on that O-line. line because it's just not been good for him on that O-line front. But I mean, he's looked really good, which is awesome to see because I really like Joe Burrow and Gardner Minshew. To his credit, he's been really good too, and I think Gardner Minshew's going to play the part of where they want to be in the draft because he's just been playing really well. And I think he's an underrated quarterback. I know some people, a lot of people probably say that about him, but I mean, he definitely has the talent to be their quarterback, maybe for the future. We'll see how the season continues going, but it could honestly go over that 49-point over-under. I wouldn't be surprised because, I mean, both of these offenses, they can run if they have to. I see Joe Mixon having a better game. He tends to start off pretty slow in the season. The past couple of years. I know he did last year for sure. But as far as a prediction, I want to say the Bengals are going to win this one. Give Joe Burrow the dub here. I'm going to say Bengals 28, Jaguars 25. Let's make it a real close game. I think it's going to be kind of fun to watch, low-key.
I like that. This is a game I think we may see on Red Zone a few times in the 1 o'clock slot. The next one, too, is a very intriguing game as the Cleveland Browns visit the Dallas Cowboys, who Cleveland, I know they've had the bad game against Baltimore, but then they had a couple of good ones in a row, even though they're against bad teams like Cincinnati and Washington. But we have Dallas, too, who's coming off that loss to the Dallas coming off that loss to Seattle, excuse me. I'm going to keep this short and sweet just because like I don't want to go too much over time. If I had to say a winner, I still think the Dallas Cowboys win, but I think this is another sleeper game where potentially it's more exciting than we think. And also, too, I think the 56 over-under is going to get broken. I say 31 to 27 Cowboys.
Yeah, I can see that. Cowboys defense just hasn't looked good. So I think the offensive weapons for the Browns are going to look really good here. But I'm going to stick with the Cowboys because this offense just – Dak's having a pretty good year himself. Cowboys, they just hadn't had the best of luck in some of these games. But I think the Cowboys are going to end up getting the win here, beating the Browns. And I think it's going to be a high-scoring game like you said. I'm actually going to say Cowboys 42, Browns 35.
Ooh, I like it. The next game up I see is Vikings-Texans, which I do not want to get into just because we don't know the status of it at the current moment, even though the Vikings did get the all-clear to go into their facility. So for now, we're going to leave that one be. We may cycle back to it in a little bit later just because like I don't want to talk about a game if it doesn't happen or not. That's all. If that's okay with you, Matt, would you want to talk about that one? Because also, too, it's two 0-3 teams.
The only thing I'd have to say about that is if you have any of these teams on your – any of these players on your fantasy teams, I would suggest subbing them out until you hear what's going on there because that scares me.
It does. It's a very scary situation for also, too. There's a lot of people who think, oh, the NFL is not going to succeed. We all – and also do it for the NFL going, oh, look, they didn't succeed. It's like, look, we knew this was bound to happen. This was going to happen at some point during the season, and now they're dealing with it. It's like – do you remember the movie Concussion with Will Smith?
I'm not familiar with it myself.
It's the one where he was the doctor with the whole... It was basically the start of the whole CTE stuff. In the line there, someone said, you just opened the NFL's biggest boogeyman. This year, this is the boogeyman in the NFL coming to life.
Yeah,
and for sure. And they're dealing with it right now head on, so we'll see what happens. But if anything, we can talk about these just... at the end, but there's that one too, and also we're going to skip over Steelers-Titans, even though the latest development with that is they may play Monday night at 5 o'clock before Packers and Falcons, or they're going to play Tuesday night, which I'm okay with either option. I just want to see all four of these teams healthy and no more COVID cases coming out of the NFL.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen for sure. I agree wholeheartedly.
No, we do not. So the next game, I want to talk about quickly because I think this is going to be a pretty big game. Seattle versus Miami. Now, I know the West Coast travel, and there's also, like, Big Red's addressed this before, the South Beach flu, where people kind of go there and relax. It can't do so much of that this year, just because, obviously, with COVID and everything. But with a game like this, I want to see what the Seattle defense looks like, because, like I was saying earlier with how I want to see what teams look like in January, for as good as Russell Wilson has looked, and like I said, he's my front runner for MVP right now, your defense can't be getting in the shootouts every week constantly, and if you do that, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. So this week, my big hot seat is that Seattle defense of, hey, how are you going to look against this Miami team, which is their first kind of okay game. But at the same time, too, Miami looked pretty good against Jacksonville the last week, so I'm going to say Miami can still put up a few points, but in the end, I'm going to go Seahawks 38, Miami 17.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Big Red, I did have a good point on your podcast where these teams can travel all the way to Miami, and it's a very popular destination joint. A lot of party situations going on out there. I like you want to see the defense play better. Of course, they've played pretty good teams so far. I mean, the Falcons, they have good offense. Patriots, they definitely – Cam's been playing good, like I said. And then, of course, they played the Cowboys, which is another really good offense. So, up against an offense that's not as prolific as those three, on paper at least. I don't know if I'm really expecting them to just put up a whole bunch of points on the Seahawks, even though it is a suspect defense. But that's very something interesting to watch. As far as the score, I'm going to say Russell Wilson just goes out and has another really good game. I'm going to say Seahawks 35, Dolphins 24.
Like you're saying with me, I really like your scores too. The next game I see here, Buccaneers Chargers. Same thing too. West Coast going to the East Coast. This is another game, too, where, like, last week I think was, like, Tom Brady's really coming out party where we saw what he's capable against. Even though Denver is injury-ridden, we saw Tom Brady's still Tom Brady. And with this game, I don't think things change. I'm going to say Buccaneers 28, Chargers 14.
I was actually thinking something very similar to that. I think Justin Herbert's going to have a really bad time with this. That Buccaneers front seven is lethal. And this defense has been playing really good to their credit. They've been looking really good on defense. And I think that's going to give Justin Herbert a hell of a time on Sunday. I was actually going to say, I think you said 28 to 14 is what did you say? Yeah,
28 to 14.
I was actually about to say 28 to 13 myself. So I'm just going to switch it up a little bit. I'm going to go 31 to 13, something like that. I think the Chargers are just going to have a bad day against this Buccaneers team.
That works with me. The next game on here is Steelers-Titans, but like we said, game's postponed at the moment. If you do have anyone from those teams, please put them on your bench for right now. But the next game we have is the Ravens at the football team. Nothing else to say.
The Ravens at the football team. Dwayne Haskins doesn't look good.
45 to 10. I think you're going to get a very pissed off Ravens team, and Dwayne Haskins is going to get benched for, I think, Kyle Allen, just because I don't know if Alex Smith is 100% yet, but even though I would prefer Alex Smith. But at the same time, too, benching Dwayne Haskins for Kyle Allen is really like the whole Jeff Driscoll for Brett Rippon situation. It's nothing better.
Yeah, it's going to look really bad on them to bench Dwayne Haskins that early. But it's probably going to happen, and the Ravens are probably going to kill him. To Washington's credit, their front sevens look good. I'll give them that. But as far as the score, Ravens 38, Washington 10.
I only say such a high score for Baltimore just because – look, I know that their front seven's really good, but they have not dealt with a Lamar Jackson. And going back to the Kyler Murray point, if Kyler Murray could put 30 on them, I think that I think Baltimore can put a little bit more than just 30 on them.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But I think they're just going to run the clock out, and that's going to prevent them from scoring a whole bunch. But he could definitely put up a lot of points on this team. It wouldn't surprise me.
I hear you loud and clear. The next game, too, I want to get into quickly just because, like, it's another thing. Rams over Giants. It's just the Giants. It's the same thing, too. You don't have Saquon Barkley. I don't know if Sterling Shepard's going to play. Defense is weak. This is still... But it's not like the Jets where it's like, look, you may change it all up. I think it's just their first year. They're running into some tough opponents. The spread right now is 12.5. I don't know if that covers, but I'm still going to... Actually, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to say it covers. I'm going to say the Rams win this game 27-7.
Yeah, I mean, their number one weapon out there is going to be Darius Slayton. And, I mean, the running back room, it just... You can't replace Saquon Barkley, and Devontae Freeman's definitely not the answer there. The Rams are just probably going to beat them real good. I think it's going to be, I'm going to say Rams 34, Giants 17.
I like that. And then the next two 4 o'clock games we already said, which is Patriots, Chiefs, and Bills, Raiders. Next up, we have the Eagles versus the 49ers. I'm going to go 49ers. I want to give a second for the score, but I think with a game like this, you're either going to see it be very close or you're going to see Nick Mullins play well. Because I think last week the 49ers, with their injury troubles, were kind of gifted a win considering they were playing San Francisco. Not San Francisco. Considering the fact that San Francisco was playing the Giants. So I think that has a lot to do with it. Like, say last week if they played, I don't know, like Seattle or the Rams, it would be a much different story. But at the same time, too, I think this, out of all the Sunday night games so far, I think this is going to be probably the lowest scoring and the weakest. I'm only saying that just because obviously Carson Wentz hasn't looked that good, and the Eagles Eagles haven't, but then the Niners at the same time, too, they're making it work with what they have, and we may see Deebo Samuel this Sunday. We don't know yet. Which, for the love of God, for my fantasy team's sake, I would love to see Deebo Samuel out there. But at the end of the day, if I had to say a score, I'm going to go 20-10 49ers.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, this is a battle of two teams that just had terrible luck with the injuries, especially on the offensive side of the ball. The Eagles, they've lost Jalen Reagor. Alshon Jeffrey might come back on this game, but I don't think he's really going to make that big of a difference. Dallas Goedert's hurt. It's just not good for him, man, and it just sucks. And, I mean, it really does. And the 49ers, they've had the same issues going. And, I mean, they've had both of their running backs get hurt, and Tevin Coleman and Raheem Mostert. Shout out Jerick McKinnon for having a good week last week for me in fantasy, and then I was able to trade him for a second-round dynasty pick and some fab. So, I mean, I like a bandit there because he hurt his ribs already. So, I mean, that's an injury to him already. Maybe Jeff Wilson Jr. has a good game. If George Kittle comes back, they're really going to have a whole bunch of a better time. And I think Jimmy G is going to play, right?
He has a similar injury to Michael Thomas, so I don't know if he plays this week. I'm going to look at their schedule quickly because I know, like I said, they have the Patriots at the end of the month. But after this, they have versus the Dolphins and then versus the Rams and then at the Patriots. So that's crazy, 3 home games in a row. I think, if anything, I would wait and play Jimmy in the game. Actually, they have 2 Sunday Nighters this month. I would honestly wait until the Rams game to bring him back unless he feels good to go. I would not rush him back just considering the level of opponent. Like, if you look at their November, on the other hand, they have the Seahawks, Packers, Saints, and Rams, which, holy fuck, you need to be healthy for that month of November. With a bye week sandwiched in between at the Saints and at the Rams. Which that Sunday is also capped off with the Patriots and the Ravens Sunday Night Football and the final Sunday of the Masters for people like me who like golf out there. I'm going to look this up quickly. You know what, Matt? You got my curiosity peaking right now. I got to see Jimmy Garoppolo. Latest report. Basically, the first thing I see from Yahoo Sports is... 49ers begin week with Mullins at QB in place of Garoppolo. So I would not be shocked if Garoppolo is not benched, but I would not be shocked if they don't play him this week. But maybe Miami. But at the same time, too, if I'm being the Niners, be cautious. And you know what? Wait for that Rams game. Unless Jimmy G's 100%. If he's even like 60%, I would still wait until the Rams. Just solely because, look, if you lose him with all the other injuries, especially your defense, which was the anchor of your football team last year, don't go risking it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, even if Nick Mullins is the guy there, I think it's just going to be an easy win for them. The Eagles just, they're not playing up to par right now. They have all these injuries. I just don't see it being that great of a game either, honestly, just because of all the injuries. And speaking of weak divisions, I think the Cowboys, if they can get their stuff together, they could have it pretty easily, because Washington, they have Dwayne Haskins. They have that drama going on. The Giants, they have injuries themselves, and I just don't think they're quite there yet. And then the Eagles, they're just having troubles this year. So I think the Cowboys can end up having a pretty easy time with winning their division. But as far as this game goes, I'll just say 49ers 17, Eagles 13.
I like the cut of your jip there, if you will. That's just the other thing, too, like with the one thing I want to say quickly is I was wrong when we had the NFC show and I said, oh, the Rams are going to be bad. The NFC West is the best division in football.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's a very strong division. You have the Cardinals, who've looked good. The 49ers, if they can get healthy, they're going to definitely be up there for sure. And, of course, you got the Seahawks and the Cardinals. I think it's a really good division, and it's definitely going to be a race. And this is probably going to be the team that's going to have it'd be crazy if all four made the playoffs. That'd be an interesting scenario to see happen with the extra wild card spot. But I don't really see that happening, but they're definitely probably going to have three teams in this division in the playoffs.
I think so, too, just because I think that even though the Bears, like I said, are a bad 3-0, I could see it where the Bears are still that competitive team, but at the end of the day, I still see Green Bay winning that division no problem. Which leads us into the Monday night game, which even though they're playing the Falcons, and even if the Falcons lose this game, I'm not going to go tooting that Dan Quinn should be fired, which I think he should, but I feel like you give it another week, like till week five, to see what happens there, which I'm going to look up quickly who their week five opponent is, because like I said, curiosity peaking alert for me.
Yeah.
But week five for the Atlanta Falcons is home to Carolina, so I feel like this week is kind of a test to see where they're at, but if you lose to Carolina, I think that's where you kind of got to pull the cord on him and then give either Dirk Cutter or Raheem Morris the job for the interim tag. But with this game this coming Monday night, I see it being very competitive. I don't see it like as the Falcons getting up to this huge lead like they did against Dallas or Atlanta. I think Green Bay will win. I don't think there will be a comeback. I think it's going to be very similar to Seattle, and I'm going to go a very similar scoreline. I'm going to say Packers 37, Falcons 24.
This should be a fun game to watch. Part of me kind of wants to see the Falcons get up early and blow another lead just because of the hilarity and the memes that would be going on in Saints Twitter would be peak meme material. But I think this is going to be a shootout. It's going to be a really fun game. We'll see, you know, I'm going to give the Falcons a win here just because something crazy could just happen, and Matt Ryan just has an amazing game. And I mean, shout out Calvin Ridley. I mean, of course, it was an easy call out to be like, oh, this is the next Chris Godwin. And I mean, he's proven that positive for sure. And I mean, Matt Ryan, he's having a really good season. Credit to him. But their team just isn't punching through with these wins, and it just seems like whenever Dan Quinn is like close to getting fired, they normally get a win that's pretty resounding, and he ends up staying. So I think that's going to lead into that. So I'm going to say the Falcons are going to get this win here. I'm going to say Falcons 38, Packers 35.
You know what? It would not shock me if the Falcons win. I'm just going to say Green Bay is going to win, but also too, I think this comes down to a very defensive football game at what team can play better defense, not so much an offensive shoot. Like, even though we have the score being high, for all we know, this game could be an offensive shootout, or it could be a defensive game where, hey, both teams kind of like get their shots in, but at the same time, too, there's that moment where the defense steps up and makes a critical play, even though that's been the big mark for, the big con for Atlanta so far as their defense, obviously, is two blown leads doesn't really help your case with a good defense. But anyway, the only note I want to make quickly about Texans-Vikings, if it does happen, is whoever loses that game is not making the playoffs, even though winning at 1-3 will still be very tough. And as for Steelers-Titans, I think we're going to see right now, this is a potential wild card or divisional game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with both things. You can't really fall into that 0-4 space. It's so hard to get out of that and make it to the playoffs. Might be a little bit easier statistically now that we have the extra playoff team. So that'd be interesting to see if that plays out. But, I mean, the Texans, they just had a really hard schedule of it the very first couple weeks. It's just not been good for them. So I think I'm going to have them beating the Vikings if the game does happen. But, I mean, they just haven't had a good start to the year. I mean, they have the Chiefs, Ravens, and Steelers. That is a freaking gauntlet. And, I mean, it sucks for them.
It does suck. But I'm going to go Texans. If the game is played, I'm going to go Texans and get the win. And then I'm going to go Steelers just because the Titans have not. Like, if you look at who the Titans beat, they had close to the Broncos, they had close to Jacksonville, they had close to Minnesota. 0-3 if you're picking 0-3 against the spread. So just little gambling notes to point out. And when a team, also Dallas is the same thing. Dallas is 0-3 against the spread. So if I just say quickly, I'm not going to say scores for those. I'm just going to go Texans win and Steelers win.
Yeah, I agree with the Steelers point. Not having A.J. Brown is going to hurt you when you're playing a really good defense, and Corey Davis being your number one receiver is not a good look. And I definitely got the Steelers in that one myself as well. And like I said, I'll go with the Texans beating the Vikings.
Exactly. And I'm just going to look on Twitter right now because, like I said before, there was that there was a tweet that was sent out earlier today that I actually saw right before you and I started recording about the whole situation with the with an update on the NFL. I just got to go find it. I think I may have lost it because I know I texted it to some people saying, like, hey, this is what may happen. And I think I have lost it. But all I know is that, look, if we get two games Monday night again, that would be great. That's not starting at 10 o'clock. Or if we get a game on Tuesday, we get a game on Tuesday. All that I ask is that all the players are safe and healthy. But anyway, that's going to do it for us today. We went over the games we wanted to from last week. We went over all the games for this week that are happening at the moment. If the games do end up happening on the next episode, we'll either look into them or predict them, as I'm probably going to record Sunday or Monday. Who if yet? We'll have to wait and see. But Matt, as always, thank you very much for coming on. You are back at any time. And do you have any closing remarks for me tonight?
I just hope the Saints get a win. That's my closing remarks. And hopefully the panic meter in Saints Twitter goes down. But if they lose, the panic meter, even for me, is going to go up. Quite a lot, so that's kind of what I could put a cap on. But I hope everyone out there has a good rest of your day. If you're listening to this, maybe at night, have a good night's rest, and hope you have a good rest of your week. And hope the week of NFL can play good, and you can win your fantasy matchups. Everyone out there, so sending out the good vibes there. And I appreciate you having me on this podcast, Griff. It's always fun to come on here and talk football with you. And if you have another guest on here, it's always fun to talk football with them. It's just a fun platform to come on here and just talk football for about an hour and a half with some people. So that's awesome. So thank you.
No problem. Thank you very much. And like Matt said, guys, hopefully if you're listening to this, unless you are facing me this week and in a fantasy league I'm in, I hope you lose. But if you aren't, good luck with your fantasy matchups, guys. If you're listening to this, no matter the time of day, have a good morning, a good evening, a good afternoon, or a good night. And enjoy week 4 of the NFL football season. And as always, during this pandemic, guys, sanitize, wear your mask, and keep your social distance. Good night for now, guys. We'll see you after week 4.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all had.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.